السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers. Hazrat Maulana has requested me to recite a hadith before the audience and give a little bit of bayan on that hadith. And this hadith discusses the month of Ramadan, which we were talking about for quite some time. And now it seems like it's almost there. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to witness this month of Ramadan and take maximum benefit from it. For after all, we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the month of Rajab throughout the month of Sha'ban, that dua and that great burning desire and anticipation for this month of Ramadan. Because we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had that deep-hearted desire that every single Muslim and ummati of his must gain the highest stages of Jannah and must ultimately succeed and gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the fikr, it was the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his ummat should get the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. And that is why he always made dua for this ummah, and he reserved his duas for this ummah, and he did not keep the duas for himself. This was the selfless nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any case, in the month of Ramadan, we will inshallah hear a lot about the virtues of the month of Ramadan. But we know, respected elders and brothers, there have been many people who have not reached the month of Ramadan. That is why in the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes, he says, وَبَلِّغْنَا رَمَضَانَ, that, oh Allah, let us reach the month of Ramadan. So we make the same dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must let us reach that month of Ramadan and take maximum benefit. We all know that when a guest comes, or when there is a lot of guests who are coming, as recently we had an event, and the guests were coming from, you know, throughout the world, different parts of the world, we know what preparation was made in the various provinces for these guests that were arriving throughout the world, and how much of money was spent, and all the decoration, and all the anticipation, and the excitement that a great guest is coming, and various great personalities are coming, and in their eyes, people who they looked up to, who were their role models, and we know in reality, they were not real role models in the true sense of the word. But we know, we see the excitement and the great anticipation and the preparation that was made for these guests that were arriving. So we are not saying that for the month of Ramadan, we must decorate our masajid or our homes, because their guests that were coming were guests of a physical nature. And we know that the guest of Ramadan is a guest of a spiritual nature. So they made a physical preparation for physical guests, and we are getting a spiritual guest which is coming. So we need to make a type of spiritual preparation and a mental preparation, that how are we going to adjust ourselves to take maximum benefit. Many people, you know, they change their whole schedule just in order to accommodate these guests, and in order to accommodate these events. If they were eating supper at a certain time, just because they wanted to see what these guests in inverted commas were doing. So they changed the entire schedule in order to watch the various events that were taking place. So this great month of Ramadan is at our doorstep. We need to now mentally prepare ourselves and condition our minds that how we are going to readjust our schedule in order to take maximum benefit from this month of Ramadan. And an example which is constantly coming to my mind, and I feel I should mention it now before I forget it. The famous example of Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh, where he mentions, we know this month of Ramadan is a month of such virtue, a month of such blessings, where our deeds are multiplied manifold, and people are granted salvation from the fire of Jahannam. So he says that if a person is given a money-making machine, and alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with the ability of explaining to people with beautiful examples, and these examples somehow seem to have a great impact on the heart. You know, one example he gives, he says that people say that, you know, my Islam is in the heart, and I don't need to display my Islam physically. I am Islam at heart. And we know it's not true, because sometimes a person, if he is dressed like a Muslim, we can recognize him. And if a person is not dressed as a Muslim, it's sometimes you don't know whether to make salam to the person or not make salam to the person. And unfortunately, if you do not make salam to the person, they feel offended. But how do we recognize a person if he doesn't have any sign of Islam on him? So in any case, the argument of these people, and we know it is shaitan who then gives people different excuses to avoid practicing on the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they say with regards to the beard, with regard to wearing of the parda, or the sunnat libas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no, my Islam is in the heart. I don't need to show it to people. So he gives a beautiful example that if you have a brand new Boeing 747 or the new A380, and if the pilot says that, you know, we have a set of brand new wheels that have just been installed, so we don't need to show the world our beautiful wheels that we have. So we will land this plane without the wheels. We'll keep the wheels inside because we don't need to show the world the beautiful wheels that we have and what a good condition they are in. So we know what will happen. This plane will inevitably crash and all the people will go through great misery. And then he gives another example that you have a person who has purchased the first class ticket. He's purchased the first class ticket and he's paid the money for it. But he's dressed like a beggar. He has torn clothes. He has tattered clothes. And he looks just like a beggar. Now when this person goes into the airport in that condition, we know that immediately at the moment he enters the airport, the police and the officials will think he is a beggar. So immediately they're going to stop him. When they stop him, then he will show them his ID and he will show them, they'll do verifications and double checking. Eventually they may allow him to pass through. But then when he goes through the various different checkpoints, at each point they're going to stop him because he doesn't appear to be a first class traveler. Although he is a first class traveler, he's got the ticket. But there's no sign on him that he's showing that he's a first class traveler. And even when he goes in the lounge, he's going to be harassed and people are going to be staring at him. So he says in the same way, a person who's got iman, but he does not display his iman in his dressing, in not only his dressing, but his actions too. Because sometimes a person is dressed like a Muslim, but his actions are not like that of a Muslim. He speaks lies. He indulges in acts which are contrary to the teachings of Islam. His character and his behavior towards his neighbors is not appropriate. His character with his wife and his children is abusive. So now this person, he has iman, but his actions are not like that of a Muslim person. So now he says, this person, when he goes through the various stages of the akhirat, then he's going to go through different trials and tribulations. Eventually he will reach Jannah, but he will reach Jannah after going through various difficulties. So he gives a beautiful example with regards to the month of Ramadan. He says that a person is given a money-making machine. And let's say in our situation, which produces 200 rand notes, the new ones now, the 200 rand notes that it prints. So he's given this machine, he says this machine will be given to you for 1 month. And you got this machine for 1 month, it's yours. After 1 month, we're taking this machine back. Now a person who knows the value of 200 rand notes, this person, he's got the machine with him, won't he take maximum benefit from this machine? He'll, even if it means eating quickly and coming back on that machine, he'll make sure he's back on that machine. And that machine is running, you know, if he can help you 24 hours, that machine must be running. Because he knows after 30 days, that's it, I'm not going to get this machine again. So he says, now if a person says, no, it's alright, I got it, 30 days is a long time. So first 10 days, let me have a break, a rest, because I need the energy for the next 20 days. So he rests for 10 days, And the next 10 days goes, he says, no, I'll rest. And then the last 10 days goes. And eventually he's got one night, he tries this way, that way. At the end, after the machine is taken away from him, the regret and the remorse that will come across his heart, we will all agree. He'll feel that I really wasted my time. If only I had really taken maximum benefit from this machine. So he says this month of Ramadan is like that money-making machine. Only the money or the currency that it produces is much, much more valuable than anything of this world. Respected elders and brothers, another thing that is coming to my mind with regards to this world and the value of this world. We take one subhanallah and the value of one subhanallah. As one alim was mentioning, once Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was traveling. We know Allah Ta'ala had given him such a kingdom which was given to no one else. And he had his entire ministers and all his officials and the various assistants that he had with him on this special little platform that he had, if you could say. It was a flying machine. We cannot understand really what it was. But it used to fly and he would travel from one place to another. And he had all this large kingdom on his throne and he would move and travel to the various areas of his kingdom. So once while he was traveling, there was a farmer in his farm and he was busy with his plantations. And his eye fell on this beautiful structure and it gripped him with awe. So when he looked at the structure, he said, Subhanallah, ma a'zama mulku Sulaiman. He said, Subhanallah, how great is the kingdom of Sulaiman. Allah Ta'ala allowed this statement of his to reach Sulaiman alayhi salam. When it reached him, immediately Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam instructed this to come down and come next to this person. Now when he came to this person, he got a shock. So he said, what did you say? So he said, I didn't say anything really. Nothing, I didn't say anything. He got worried. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam said, repeat the statement that you said. So he said, I only said, Subhanallah, how great is the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam said, Wallahi, the statement of your Subhanallah is greater than my entire kingdom put together. So respected elders and brothers, that is the value of this world. In another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى منها كافرا شربة ماء. That if this world was equivalent, and remember, if it was equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala would not have given the kafir one drop of water to drink. And I always tell the students that if a person has to go to the shop and if he tells the shop owner that, look, I'd like some milk and bread, or he goes to the jewelry shop and he says, give me a diamond ring and I've got a wing of a mosquito to pay for it, and that person will, he'll say, it's absolutely worthless. In the same way, in Allah Ta'ala's sight, this world is not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. If it was equal to the wing of a mosquito, Allah Ta'ala would not have given the kafir one sip of water to drink. In other words, the world has got less value than even that. And that is the reason why Allah Ta'ala gives the kuffar and the disbelievers and those people who reject Him, Allah Ta'ala gives them plentiful. Because it has no value whatsoever. Another alim gave another beautiful example. He said that if we take Jannah and if we look at the hoor of Jannah, the maidens of Jannah, we know that a person's wife will be the queen of all these hoor. So he says these hoor are like the maids of Jannah. They are like the maids of a Jannah, and the person's wife will be the queen. She will be in charge and they will be like the ordinary maids. So he says this hoor of Jannah, the dopatta, the scarf that she wears, if a portion of that scarf has to fall in this world, then all the wealth of this world will be insufficient to pay for it. That is the value of an ordinary scarf of the maid of Jannah. Can you imagine what is the value of Jannah? And can you imagine how worthless this world is in respect of Jannah? So respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan, not only Subhanallah, but every single action, the fara'id, the sunnah is multiplied many, many fold. Can we imagine the great investment opportunity that we have that is at our doorstep now? So if this month of Ramadan comes, 30 days or 29 days it comes, and if we don't take full advantage of this month of Ramadan, then respected elders and brothers, we are definitely, liable for that curse which Rasulullah SAW said Ameen upon. And that is the curse, that that person, may that person be destroyed, who finds the month of Ramadan, but does not earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected brothers and brothers, coming back to this hadith, which is quoted in Fazail al-A'mal as well, the first hadith, narrated by Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu. And he says that, قَالَ خَطَبَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِّن شَعْبَانٍ فَقَالْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ أَضَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up on the minbar and he delivered a sermon on the last day of Sha'ban, and he said, O people, a great month is about to fall upon you. It is about to dawn upon you. And look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a great month. Now if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something is great, we can imagine the greatness, respected brothers and sisters. There was no exaggeration in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would be a person who would be to the point. شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ مِّنْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. In this month, there is a night which is more valuable and more greater in virtue than a thousand months. And we know, respected elders and brothers, that is the month of Laylatul Qadr. So it is in this month of Ramadan that we find the month of the night of Laylatul Qadr. شَهْرٌ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ فَرِيضًا وَقِيَامَ لَيْلِهِ تَطَوَّعًا. It is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and ordained fasting upon you, and He has made the Taraweeh Salah Sunnah for you. Now, if we look at the ayat which is commonly recited before the month of Ramadan, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And in this ayah, we can see how the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love that Allah ta'ala has for His servants. He says that, O believers, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. And in this ayah, Allah ta'ala didn't say that Allah has made fasting compulsory upon you. Rather, He said that fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Because a person who is a true ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it may appear that if we say that Allah has made fasting compulsory upon you, then this person may feel that why did Allah, you know, create some difficulty upon me. So Allah Ta'ala says, no, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. We know that Allah Ta'ala has made it compulsory. Why? So that love between the servant and the creator remains. That we still love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100%. Fasting has been made compulsory upon you. But then Allah Ta'ala lessens the burden. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. That, O my servants, it is not only upon you that fasting has been made compulsory, but rather this fasting had always been compulsory upon the nations before you in different forms and ways. So it is not only you that has been singled out, but rather this is something which Allah Ta'ala has always prescribed for His servants. And we know this is an opportunity for us to show our true love and servitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I mean, look at the favors Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us. The eye alone, we know the value of just one eye, the value of each organ in a person's body. That's why even a person, if he doesn't have any money with him, his body itself is worth millions, we know, respected elders and brothers. Ask those people whose kidneys do not function properly. Ask those people who are not able to hear properly. Ask those people who are blind, how much they would be prepared to pay just to gain sight. So the value of our body alone, and this great, great ni'mats and bounties which Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us, it is only rightful and it is only correct that we show our servitude and we show our thanksgiving and our gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah Ta'ala says, what is the objective and the purpose of fasting? Allah Ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The objective and the purpose of fasting, respected elders and brothers, is not merely staying hungry. It is not merely, you know, changing our schedule. That is not the objective of fasting. But rather the objective of fasting is to attain this great bounty and treasure of taqwa. And that is the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala is with us. Allah ta'ala is watching us. Allah ta'ala is all seeing, all hearing. Allah ta'ala is aware of every single action of His servant. And that is taqwa. That a person does no action that will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we get this taqwa in our lives, respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala has promised great, great virtues. And Allah Ta'ala has promised such a jannah for those people who have got taqwa, respected elders and brothers, which words cannot really describe. Imaginations cannot really describe. This is that jannah which Allah has prepared. وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ For the muttaqeen, Allah has prepared such a jannah, it's more vast than the entire heavens and earth put together. So this is the objective of taqwa, that we are gaining this training to stay away from those things which were normally permissible. A person normally can eat, he can drink, and he can have relations with the wife. This is normally permissible. But Allah Ta'ala makes it forbidden for a certain stipulated time period. And if a person gains the ability to stay away from things which are normally permissible, it must become much, much more easier for him to stay away from things which are haram, which are forbidden for him. So this month of Ramadan is a spiritual training. It is an ability for us to overhaul, as our ulama say, to overhaul the spiritual car of us. And that beautiful example which Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, gives of a person who takes a car which is dented, and we know that is really the condition of my heart and our hearts, that it is dented with all the spiritual diseases, weaknesses, maladies. We have got greed, pride, envy, jealousy, malice, hatred in our hearts. Now, this heart is absolutely dented like the dented car. Now, a person takes this car to the panel beater and he restores that car. He removes all those dents and he resprays the car and he polishes that car and he brings that car back into showroom condition. So this is this month of Ramadan, that a person, he puts his heart, his spiritual heart into this month of Ramadan. He engages himself in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And slowly but surely, he removes those spiritual dents from his heart. Inshallah, if a person, you know, enters the month of Ramadan with the correct mind frame and conditions himself and he takes maximum benefit and he adjusts his schedule. Further in this hadith, unfortunately, the time has expired. It is only with Hazrat Maulana's barakat that we were able to speak something. But those people who are employers should also try and lessen the burden for their employees, and it comes in the hadith further. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to take maximum benefit from this month of Ramadan and ultimately attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gain this great valuable treasure of taqwa in our life. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.